All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Plan C.
What? Plan C?
Yeah, Plan C.
Wait, is that what you take when you're with your girlfriend? Oh, no, wait, that's Plan B. Sorry. I was confused.
Yeah, stupid. It's going to be one of
he
those
would know
nights.
It was way after his time.
Yeah. Anyway, Plan C. What the heck are we talking about, Plan C? Well, we're going to make you a better fisherman by fishing Plan C.
Yeah.
Seriously. Well, I am serious. We did this. Well, we've done it in the past quite a bit, but I'm telling you, last week when we were on the water, we did 3 days of Plan C.
As tournament directors.
Yes.
Not participants, but as tournament director.
Yes.
Tournament director Mitch Peterson.
So what we wanted to do, and we've done this before, and it's hard to do when you know where fish are and you want to get to your spot and go catch them. Right. But what happens when it's just packed with boats or the fish aren't there? Now you're going to go to your next spot, Plan B.
Oh, right.
So what we're talking about is, unless you're fishing for cash, I mean, if you're out there competitively fishing, of course you want to get on your fish. But to make yourself better, if you're decided today or right now it's a live bait, we're jigging, nope, don't jig. Go do something different. Learn that lake. Learn something different and just know whatever Plan C is, what you're scratching your head to try to do later on in the day when you're not figuring out the bite, start with that.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah.
Right? Seriously, it makes you better.
Yeah, you go to the bait store, they don't have leeches. Shit, what am I going to do now?
That's right? Plan A.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No leeches. So now you're like, oh, crap, all right. Well, then I'll take, minnows. Yeah, we're down on those too. Okay, so now you got 24 crawlers. Now what do you do, right? You're going to do slip bobbers was going to be the plan. We're going to slip bobber leeches over rocks.
Well, we were going to start off, our Plan A was we were talking about pulling bouncers because we just know it's going to go crazy, and we're going to pull bouncers. And we decided, no. We didn't pull one bouncer. We ended up casting we were casting some shallows, but then we also casted some saddles.
Yep, drop-offs.
And we did slip bobbers. And where we would normally fish, we would have been pulling bouncers through there, and we know we were going to hammer them, right? But we went to spots there was nobody. I'm talking, we haven't even fished these areas before, but we rolled up and we said, we're going to try it. We're going to learn this lake different. We're going to learn a different technique this time of year.
Yep.
So we have Plan A, B, and now C.
Yep. Well, we had to. The entire tournament field went up to the other end of the lake.
Yes.
So we had to go to the
And that's where we would have went.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's absolutely where we would have gone.
We knew the fish are on the west end this time of year.
Yep.
You know, the thing that I love about Plan C's a lot of times? They work.
Sometimes they work better.
Yeah,
they do.
You know, I learned this a long time ago too. A affects B affects C, and so yeah, somewhere down the road, because you're Plan A and Plan B not panning out,
right?
And you got to go to Plan C. It all falls together.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of guys get comfortable in what they're doing right now, right?
Well, and Mitch said, growing up in Minnesota, year after year, season would open. He goes and he gets minnows, and they're going out and they're doing Lindy rig or they're doing slip bobbers or whatever, and that's what they do at this same couple spots every year after year, and the fish are always there. And well, what if they're not there?
So if you went back to Minnesota, Heron Lake area, with your buds, and it was right now when it's just opening here in Minnesota, and you went there and said, no, we're gonna go cast shorelines with jerk baits
or whatever,
whatever it is. What would they say? And we're not going to those points.
They'd look at me like I was crazy. Like, well, no, we're nuts. Not. But I got these crawlers I just dug up out of the garden,
right?
And we're going to use them.
Yeah. Right. So what would you say to them?
No, no. You guys watch this.
Yes.
Yeah. We would go and we would catch them, and they'd be like, "Holy shit!"
Because it makes me think of your buddy that never pulled bouncers before. Yep. They don't pull bouncers up there, or from your neck of the woods. I mean, your group of friends where they fish your local lake, they just didn't. They're like, no. So we gave him a Plan C, maybe D, and said, try it. And he came back a week later and was like, holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's right? Like, holy man, that was just killing him.
I'll never forget when I told him about it. Like, and right behind the bouncer, 2-foot lead, blah, blah, blah. Told him the setup. He's like, those fish will come right up behind that big chunk of lead, dragging it. I was like, yep, they sure will. Yep, sure. And I could just hear it in his voice, like, yeah, right.
Right.
Sure enough.
And then what happened?
You got the next phone call was a little different.
What'd he say? Holy shit, dude.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's one of those things where it's, you know, fishing a lot of times is going for plan C. If I get extended periods of time to be able to fish or pre-fish for a tournament, right? So instead of our usual couple days or 3 days, let's say I do get 4 days or even crazy 5 days, right? There's usually a day or two in there where it's the plan C day. It's, well, we've looked at all the spots we've identified on the map or the spots that we know because we fished this lake before. We've gone through. Now let's take a half a day or three quarters of a day and let's go fish some areas we have never fished before. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's go. I mean, everybody, like you sit there and you're at the start, right? And you watch 100 boats fire past this certain cove. All of them. Yep. Right past it because it's close to the start. Well, let's go in there and see. There's a guy that I know fishes our tournaments. He's exactly like that. He fishes the end of the lake closer to where the start is and does really well. And you know, if we have a 120 boat field, 118 of them fire right past and he trails off, you know, and goes back and fishes that side of the lake yep. by himself the whole day. And he ends up coming in with, you know, big bags. So it really is, it's fun too. I mean, this weekend we had a blast. We were all fishing. I mean, different stuff, different things, because we didn't care, right? It was like, well, let's go out and fish. Yeah. You know, poor Mitch was down verifying fish, and
we did get to fish a little bit more. than Mitch. More,
well, I tell you that it was a perfect thing though. So, where we're fishing, I mean, typically it's a jig crawler bite, right? Right. Bite. Or we're pulling bouncers and crawlers. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, well, we set up with our jigs, and mm-hmm. you know, we were casting some plastics tipped with crawler, yep. and then I was fishing just a lead head with a jig, or lead head jig with a crawler, vertical jigging, casting it.
Right.
And Junior here throws out a slip bobber, same area, this little bowl we were fishing, and, oh, my God, I mean, what was it, 4-1, 5-1?
Easy.
And yep. it's not that Josh is the master at slip bobbers. I'm not going to lie. He's got it dialed. But, no, they preferred that bait, right, you know, up, you know, 6-8 inches, whatever you had it set at.
Subtle.
Up off the bottom, just hanging there, yep. not doing anything, versus, you know, even fishing our jigs real slow and cautious, like they all day long,
yep.
slip bobber.
And it didn't matter where. We went to spots we've never fished before. Because we wanted to stay out of the guys that were fishing for cash, right?
Yep.
But I tell you what, because we did that, I probably got about 5 more spots now that I would go. I'm like, yeah, those are good spots.
Right. Well, and I know one thing, too. We go out there jigging because that's the bite. That's right. Plan A. I'm going straight to Plan C just to see.
Yeah,
because I love to test it out. Fishing a slip bobber.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Well, and Plan C also isn't just how you fish. It's where you fish. You know, and like we were talking about, you're somewhere else, but we combined all of Plan C. Remember on I don't remember what day it was, but we were fishing an area that we had fished before, but was with the water level being so high, was way under. And I was like, guys, I just want to do crankbaits. I just want to pull crankbaits through the tops of these trees. Let's just make a couple passes before the end of the day, and then let's go. And I don't know what it'd take us, 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, I think, on that one when we got them all out finally for us to catch a fish and then another one, mm-hmm. you know. And so it was kind of crazy because that's what we were doing. We're like, all right, well, we know we could catch fish doing bouncers, let's say, throughout this area. But, man, I don't know. Something tells me that we could get fish on crankbaits here.
Yeah.
We threw out the crankbaits, and it didn't take long before we were catching fish on crankbaits.
We just didn't fish it long.
Right, no, we didn't have fish, time, yeah.
No,
I mean,
we
ran out
like
of time and the weather got bad, yeah.
And
yeah.
probably caught 5.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty good.
I mean, and it was quick, yes. you know. I mean, and we were hung up a bunch of times. If we wouldn't have gotten hung up in the trees, we would have been, you know, we went back to go get baits and stuff. We would have probably done even more. Mm-hmm. But we were just trying to fill out the spot and see how high the trees came up in the water column and all that. And, man, I'll tell you what, once we did start to dial it in, it would have been, I think, just nonstop. But that was probably even Plan D at that point. I mean, I right. think that was the third or fourth thing we'd done that day.
Yeah, no, you're right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you touched on a little bit. It doesn't necessarily mean that you, let's say it is a bottom bouncer bite, right? And you're like, I'm going to fish bouncers because I know I'm going to catch them.
Yep.
Well, that's okay. Plan C can be different locations. Go find your right. other parts of the lake so you can either change up presentation, but fish other areas, because what it's going to do is just make you learn that lake better instead of always going to the memory of where fish are. Go find more. And you'll find spots that, okay, there's a lot of trees here. I can't fish my normal presentation here, but I wonder if I can cast above them.
Yep.
You know, or whatever it is.
Well, there's that. I think this is the time when you find that spot within a spot, right? You know you fished this area before, but I've never quite wound all the way to the back of that little cut. I haven't quite, let me see, because I know for me, a lot of times I'll start wandering back. And it starts coming up and getting shallow.
And you'll turn.
And it's like, because it can get tight to turn around in some of those, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Either that or you're trying to back out. And so I'm like, and you turn around and you maybe pitch a couple plastics up in there or something and turn around and come
but
out.
But now you should park there and cast plastics.
Cast plastics, cranks. I mean, we were catching fish, doing some crankbaits coming around offshore. And that slip bobber. I mean, if you sneak up into some of these cuts and throw that slip bobber back in there, some of them are deeper than you think, especially for our lakes. But even if it's a flat bowl prairie type lake, or it's a Michigan lake where you've got some rocky structure or submerged island, you're on the backside of it. Man, that's we found a lot of good spots just kind of sneaking back.
Exploring it, learning it. Well, and that's kind of what Plan C comes to me when we're talking location is you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So just everybody picture yourselves on your favorite lake. You've got all your spots.
Dude. We totally need t-shirts. We need
you don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. Mitchisms.
He comes up with some.
It's pretty deep though. Think about it.
Hey, it's almost too deep. Yeah.
But okay. So picture yourself on your traditional lake, right? Oh yeah. The walleyes are up on that flat. Right. They're over on this break, that point. Blah blah blah. Right. This time of year, all that. So you think you know where the fish are. I promise you, the walleyes are in way more places than what you and everybody that fishes that lake has realized. And that's what I mean by Plan C. Mm-hmm. Like if you've got that traditional flat that's maybe 12 feet deep, it's big, 100 yards long, mm-hmm. and you like to drift over it, Lindy rigging or whatever. Do you ever fish super shallow up in the trees, up in, the submerged rushes and weeds and stuff like that? Have you ever even done it?
Right.
Probably not, because you catch plenty of fish out there on that flat that you fish over and over again. Right.
But what happens when you go there and the pressure is on that island, the fish have pushed off? Now you're like, man, I don't know what to do.
It's a slow day. Well, we didn't catch as many. That's the usual
boat
results.
Traffic, and I see it. You see it on social media postings. Oh, the boat traffic was terrible. We got forced off the lake. No, you didn't get forced off the lake. You got forced off your spot, and you didn't go find another spot on your lake.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, right?
There's nothing better than – we have two local lakes that we fish a lot, mm-hmm. right? And we've probably fished – well, almost every square inch of it at some point or another. But because over the years, we've forced ourselves, because we're in the Denver metro area, you can imagine the pressure.
And they're not big. And there's tons of pressure to go with.
Tons of pressure.
That they're not
so
big.
We ended up years ago developing Plan C's and D's because there was already too many boats there. It was just not feasible
dodging
to
jet
fish.
Skis.
So we're like, well, it's open over there. So we just started fishing areas that we've overlooked before, and now they're some of our most productive ones that we go to.
Right, yes.
And it makes you better a better fisherman because you understand that lake better.
Yeah.
But it gives you choices, it gives you options. Yep. But I'm telling you,
there's fish near there. If it's not right there, it's going to be somewhere near there, and they're going to be biting on something. Right. I mean, it's not going to be just this barren place of water that a fish never swims through. It's going to be something. I can remember a long time ago, I went to Michigan to see my aunt and uncle, and they were up on they live on a lake, and it's a chain of lakes. And we were going through my uncle's pontoon, and we're going through these chain of lakes, and not my preferred way to fish, but I wanted to fish. It's Michigan. Heck yeah, let's go fish, right? And I remember getting out on the lake, and a lot of those viney weeds, and I don't know what you call
milfoil.
Them. Is it milfoil or something? They were growing all the way up to the surface. Well, I had not fished at that point very much water that looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very frustrated because I was used to doing bouncers or whatever, and you couldn't do that. You couldn't get it to the bottom. If you got it to the bottom, you couldn't get it through the weeds or whatever. So I started casting and just pulling jigs through it. And like you guys were talking about in previous podcasts, it would get hung up and I'd rip it through. And that's most often when I get a walleye or a northern or something. I learned a ton. Well, now I fish lakes that have that all the time. So now fishing it is just second nature. It's like, mm-hmm. Let's go. I look for it. Let's go do it.
Yeah.
So now I want to get my fat butt back to Michigan, and I want to fish those lakes again, because now mm-hmm. I've got 1,000 different ways to fish that type of cover. As before, I was at a complete loss. I mean, I was completely lost.
I know that one time me and my dad went up, and we were fishing up in Canada. And I don't remember the name of the lodge we're at, but when you left the lodge, we rented one of their 16-foot boats at 25 horsepower. Mm-hmm, it had no electronics or nothing, so you just didn't know. But, we're going to give her hell and go. So I was talking to the guy that owned the lodge, and he goes, I'm telling you, right when you get out of it, because you had, like, probably about a quarter mile or so, like, slewed before you got out on the lake. Mm-hmm. He goes, right when you get out, there's going to be a bunch of rock croppings right off to your left side. He goes, if you the slough here has northerns like there's no tomorrow. He goes, but once you get out there, those walleye are just going to be stacked up on that first point. And it was obvious. We came around. I was like, oh, there they are. Well,
I can't see them, but I can feel them.
That's the point he's talking about. Well, the whole time we were out there, we saw two other boats. The whole time, and there's one sitting right there. I'm like, really? I mean, this is day one.
Yeah.
Right? So we didn't know the lake at all. So there's an island that's sticking out probably about 5 minutes away with a 25 horse. I said, let's go cast that island.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. We clubbed them. I'm talking 100 fish days. And when I came back, he goes, well, I've never made it. This guy lives there and has a service. And he's like, I've never made it to that island. I never needed to. And I'm like,
just stop at one of the close places.
And I'm like, dude, I go, look at all these photos that we took. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be telling people to go there, because it was so big that you could fish 30 boats around it, right?
Right.
And this little rock point that he was talking about, I could have went in there, but it would have been kind of cheesy to go right up on this guy when you have a whole lake.
Right.
So we went over there, and we fished that whole island for 5 days.
Yeah.
The whole thing around it. And we caught more fish than you can ever imagine.
Yeah. Well, that's really a really good point when you're talking about it is, what if your electronics go out, right? Mm-hmm. Or, something happens and you don't have what you usually have. So now you're kind of going on your instinct. Mm-hmm. All right, well, the shoreline here looks pretty good. If this shoreline continues off into the water, let's see. Let's go feel it out and see how deep, and let's find these fish. I mean, I still do a lot of that. Look, I think we all do, right? You look and you say, that looks pretty good over there.
Definitely.
Then you take your electronics and you verify it.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you better start. You better have a plan C when it comes to your equipment. Mm-hmm. Fishing that tournament a few years ago where my all my batteries went out, except the crank battery, right? So I had no electric. So I used drift socks galore hanging off my boat and the kicker motor to get me slow enough for the presentation I was doing, and then taking second in the tournament. Well, I was screwed, but that was plan like Z, because
yeah.
I mean, I had nothing. I went and bought batteries, wore them out. I didn't know the charger had broken. Mm-hmm. Charger looked like it was still working. I put new batteries in, and those didn't work. So I was way screwed and a few $100 into it. So,
but you had done other kinds of fishing with drift socks and stuff that gave you that ability to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you right now, if you wouldn't have done that, that's what we're talking about. Get out and do something different, because you got proficient at it before you had an issue.
Right. Right. And so I knew when I had to put down the kicker, and I didn't have all the fancy, troll, whatever the Mercury one is, but Trollmaster, any of that, I couldn't turn down my RPMs. I had a throttle, so it wasn't a twist throttle. It was one that was, back up by the steering wheel. I mean, I'd barely bump it in the gear, and that bad boy was off. So I had to really figure out a way to
slow
it down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to know. It's like, you have to be able to do all sorts of things, mm-hmm. and not only just.
But you have to force yourself.
But you have to force yourself.
You have to
force myself to do it at other lakes. I actually learned how to do the drift sock trolling thing at McConaughey, because
you had to.
Well, I was running out of battery. I couldn't use my battery all day. Mm-hmm. It was killing me. So I had to use gas for a little bit if I wanted to use battery for most of the day.
Well, I know 20 years ago when we first started fishing tournaments or really got into walleye fishing, you did pretty much the same couple things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're going to jig. We're going to linny rig.
Bulk crankbaits.
Yep. And now there's so much in our arsenal because we forced ourselves to. Tournament fishing really makes you do that, though, because you really have to.
Because you got
to
fish any condition, any time.
Yes, you can't be like, it's kind of crappy day. I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, you have to fish. So, but we've learned how to do numerous different things, and it's really been beneficial. That's what we want you guys to do.
No.
Force yourself to learn other stuff, because there's so many great presentations out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to take the time to do it.
Dude, it all comes back around. You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know.
Look at the resort owner up in Canada. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dude, here's an island. You know, what is that? A half mile, maybe?
It's about a half mile.
Yeah, so not very far. Yeah. And
I've never had to go that far.
Never gone there.
Never.
He didn't know.
He didn't know.
Because he didn't know.
Yeah.
No.
There we go. I'm envisioning a red T-shirt with a white silk screen print of Mitch's head with his hat cocked back on his head. And it says
trucker
Mitchism.
Style.
Yeah, trucker style. It says Mitchism. You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you
and
don't
then
know.
And in the back it says you can't catch him from the couch.
Yeah.
Right there.
Hotcakes. Order yours today.
And then, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure enough. Yeah, sure enough.
That Minnesota comes out, don't you know?
Oh, yeah. Sure enough.
Can't help it.
No, but seriously, guys, we're going to wrap this up. But get out and fish, first of all. But then think about when you're going out there, what your typical day is. Force yourself to do something different. I mean, and if you end up spending a couple hours and you don't catch anything in these new locations trying different things, don't give up on it.
Right.
Go catch your fish. Do it how you were going to do it that day. Go back to plan A. Right. But the next time you go out, find a different sea. Figure it out. Because you will make yourself a better fisherman learning how to do multiple techniques, doing stuff different at different times a year. I'm telling you.
Yep. Don't get comfortable.
Nope. That's
because
exactly
it'll hurt you in the long run, you know. Because at some point, your spot's going to have a boat. At some point, the bait store's not going to have leeches or minnows. At some point,
the fish won't be there.
The fish won't be there. You know, the lake will have come up or dropped, and I mean, or the cold front will have moved through, and they're just not biting there.
It's a windy day.
Yep.
Whatever it is, there's a multitude of factors.
Yep.
But get out there on the water and figure out your plan C. Hey, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, I'd like to thank you guys a lot for following us and sharing us, and we've had a lot of good success, and it comes from you guys. Make sure you continue to follow us on or check out our website at All Eyes on Fishing. .com. But your questions, we love having them. We get a ton of them. We love it. AllEyesOnFishing@gmail.com. We want your questions and we want your suggestions for podcasts.
Yep. Check out The Next Level.
Yep.
If you guys get a chance, check out The Next Level. If you like our normal podcast, it's an hour plus on going into things like this and really dissecting it and going into it in greater
dive
detail.
Deep. And it's like a pack a couple crawlers a month.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
But we really do dive into it. So, hey, thanks a lot, guys.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.